Many of you have come to know the name of Marshall Pless. He's my hairdresser. And he's a hairdresser that's truly been sent to me by the Lord. He and his wife, Lois, were looking at different ministries and determining where they wanted to settle. And God brought them to our ministry years and years and years ago. And as a result of coming here, they moved here. And Marshall ministers. He has a unique ministry in that he ministers to all of his clients. He's a counselor. He's very active in his church. But whenever you sit in Marshall's chair to have your hair done, not sit in Marshall's hair, whenever you sit in Marshall's chair to have your hair done, Marshall will pray with you. He doesn't do a thing without praying first. And so usually every Tuesday morning when I cut my videotapes and have our class here, I go to Marshall. I go to him more for the prayer than I do for the hair. And that kind of rhymed, didn't it? It's going to be a good lesson. Hang on. I was sitting in his chair not too long ago, and I had noticed this picture. It's the picture of a shepherd cuddling one of his sheep. And I said, "Oh, Marshall, I've watched that picture and I've looked at it and I just love it." He said, "I was waiting for you to comment on it because I bought it for you. But I didn't want to give it to you unless I really knew that you really liked it and it really meant a lot to you." It means a lot to me because you just see such contentment on that sheep's face. And not only that, as you look at the hand of the shepherd, you see a nail print. The shepherd who has laid down his life for his sheep. And you can tell that that little sheep is very secure in the arms of his shepherd. As we look at John chapter 10 today, I want to ask you a question. Oh, precious sheep, are you in the fold? If you're in the fold, you're in the arms of Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep who has laid down his life for the sheep and who will bear for all eternity those covenant marks of love in his nail-scarred hands. We want to look at John chapter 10, but as we do, let's review. In John chapter 8, remember Jesus in John chapter 8, the Pharisees, he's in this period of conflict. And the Pharisees turn around and they look at Jesus in John 8, 48, and they say to him, "You are a Samaritan and you have a demon." And with this, at the end of John chapter 8, they pick up stones to stone him. And he escapes out of their midst. In John chapter 8, verse 57, he again identifies himself as being the great I am in John 8, 58. And so then they pick up stones and they go to stone him. And as they go to stone him, what he does is he hides himself, but it also says this, he went out of the temple. He went out of the temple. Now, as he goes out of the temple, he sees the blind man. And he heals the blind man. And then the Pharisees find out that he's been healed. And they're very, very upset that this man who was blind can now see. And they're upset because he has been made well on the Sabbath. Jesus has broken their traditions. And so once again, they are so angry that what they do, Jesus has left the temple. Now they are so angry that they kick the blind man who has now seen out of the synagogue. Let me show it to you. It's in John chapter 9, verse 34. And it says, "And they answered and said to him, 'You were born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us?' And they put him out." Now, where did they put him out of? They put him out of the synagogue. And you know that after they put him out, then Jesus comes to him. Look at verse 35. I might as well read it. "And Jesus heard that they had put him out." And what? Finding him. Jesus hears that this Jewish man who has been given his sight, has been put out of the synagogue, put out, now hang on with me, out of the Jewish fold. And so Jesus, hearing it, goes to what? Find him. Because this blind man who can now see is still spiritually blind. And he has gone to find this lost sheep from the house of Israel that he might give him life, that he might bring him as the shepherd into his fold. So this is what he does. He goes to find him. And he says to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he, the blind man, answered and said, "And who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who was talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, "We are not blind too, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Your sin remains. Truly, truly, I say to you," forget the break there in the chapters, "truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door of the fold, into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech, Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. Jesus therefore said to them again, "Truly, truly, verily, verily, surely, surely, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have what? Life. What has the blind man done? The blind man has seen a miracle, has believed that Jesus is the Christ, and believing in him has received what? Life. Eternal life. "I have come that they might have life, and have it what? Abundantly." But you say, but he's been kicked out of the synagogue. He's been kicked out of the fold. That's right. He was kicked out of the fold, but he heard the voice of the true shepherd and came into the true fold. And he'll never, ever be kicked out of that fold. Now watch. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling, just remember that, and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hireling and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." Now drop down to chapter 10, verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me." Remember that. My Father who has given them, these sheep, to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Now listen very carefully. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, "I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me?" And the Jews answered him, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you being a man, make yourself out to be God. They understood that he believed and was professing to be God. We want to look at John chapter 10. And as we look at it, I want you to keep in mind all the things that have gone before now and the background that I've told you. I also want you to keep something else in mind, and that is all the way throughout the Old Testament, God is constantly referred to his people Israel as his sheep. He has referred to himself as the shepherd. The sheep and the shepherd is not an uncommon figure of speech to the Jews. Here is a Jew now who has been kicked out of the synagogue who apparently is hearing this. Here are Pharisees who are hearing this. He's saying this in the presence of all these people. And then later on at the Feast of Dedication, again he picks up on this same theme. This is something that the Jews are very familiar with. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, it says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned each one to our own way, and God has laid on him the iniquity of us all." In Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And it's a psalm that tells about the provision of the shepherd and how he provides for us all the days of our life so that we turn around and we look back and we say, surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. And I know, and you take that shepherd picture again, and I know that I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. So he's laid all this down. Now, in the light of that, there are other passages that talk about sheep and shepherds, and I want to take you to one in particular. I want to take you to Ezekiel 34. And in Ezekiel 34, I want to show you how Jesus how Jesus uses this parable and uses what's going on to show this Jewish man and those Pharisees that are listening what they are like, now hang on, what they are like as shepherds of Israel. See, the leaders were to be the shepherds of Israel. And so he's going to show us, or what he's showing us in John 10 is this. What have these shepherds of Israel done to their little Jewish sheep who was blind and now can see? What have they done? They have kicked him out. Well, aren't shepherds supposed to be concerned for their sheep? Aren't shepherds supposed to desire the good of their sheep? Have these shepherds of Israel really cared for this blind sheep? No, they haven't rejoiced with him over the fact that now he was blind and now he can see. They haven't rejoiced with him over anything. They have just looked at themselves and the fact that here Jesus is coming along and picking up followers after him. And they are concerned about their own selves, their own welfare. In Ezekiel chapter 34, "Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and you clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock.'" You know, as I travel to other countries, I see churches. Churches that are represented here, denominations that are represented here. One in particular that I'm thinking of that I won't mention because I don't want to offend anyone. But I see these churches in the midst of all this poverty, and these churches are ornate and they are filled with gold, and there's the heads of these churches live in very, very nice conditions, and the people come in and they drop money so that their prayers are answered. They light candles so that their prayers are answered. They crawl on their knees sometimes for miles until their knees are bloody, that their prayers might be answered, that they might have favor with God, or they go through the saints in order to get to Jesus. And in one of these countries, when there was a disaster in this country, the people appealed to the headquarters of this denomination and said, "We've been ruined by this natural disaster in our country. Would you help us?" And the church said no. And the church said, "But don't you forget, you still owe us your taxes. You still owe us your money." What kind of a shepherd is that, that would put gold and all of these beautiful things in the churches and yet would not melt down the gold and sell it if necessary in order to take care of the people, but would continually say, "No, you come." And so they're using the sheep for their own benefit. And the thing is, as you look at the sheep, what you see is their darkness continues. For all that they profess, for all their prayers, for all their penances and all of that, the people are not changed. And what's happened? Well, it's the same thing here, and we have to be careful. See, it can happen in ministries. It can happen in all sorts of denominations. You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened. The diseased you have not healed. Did these shepherds of Israel rejoice over this diseased blind man that had been healed? No. The broken you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back. This young man, or this blind man, was kicked out of the synagogue. When Jesus heard about it, what did he do? He went and he found him. He says, "Nor have you sought for the lost, but with force and severity you have dominated them." And this is what you see with the shepherds of Israel. With force and severity they dominated the people. "And they were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field, and they were scattered. My flock wandered throughout all the mountains and on every high hill, and my flock was scattered all over the surface of the earth, and there was no one to seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has become even food for all the beasts of the field for the lack of a shepherd." And you know, in many of these countries, what you see is you see them coming into certain denominations and professing Christ. I know I've just been back from some of these countries. And you see them going in and professing Christ, but at the same time holding on to all of their heathenism. So you have a mixture. And it's because the sheep have not been properly fed the Word of God, so that they don't know, and they bring in the heathen practices and they're mixed in. And see, there are still things from Confucianism and things like that that are hanging on even in the Korean church. Do you know that? That people have brought up. There are things that we have taken from our past or from our background or from our religions or from our beliefs, and we've brought them into our Christianity. And what's the thing that's going to set us free from all of that? It's proper feeding on the Word of God. But see, when we do not feed them, then we make them prey to others. There are many college students that have become prey to all sorts of offshoot and offbeat groups that will take them in and love them and give them that fellowship that they so desperately need and take care of that peer pressure and make them feel like they belong. Why didn't the church do this? And how did they fall prey to these groups? It's because they were part of a body, but they weren't many times, not all the time, but they weren't fed. And so they're prey to every beast of the field. He says, my flock has become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd. And my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 10, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I shall demand my sheep from them. What is he saying? He's saying, I'm against these shepherds that are not taking their sheep, and you know what? I'm going to come in, and I'm going to demand my sheep from them, and I'm going to bring them out. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he went in and got the blind man and brought him out. He says, my sheep, I shall demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore, but I shall deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, now this is so precious, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. And what was Jesus doing? What was Jesus doing? Those 3.5 years of ministry, what was he doing? He was going and he was searching for his sheep and he was bringing them out. He was going in and he was calling his sheep. Here, sheepy, 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 sheepy. He was calling his sheep, and he was bringing them to himself. He says, I will go. I myself will go. I myself. I, God, myself. I, God, myself. How? John 1 says, Jesus has explained to us the Father. Jesus has explained to us the Father. Here is Jesus. He is God. He's not wrong in making himself out to be God because he is God. Here is the heart of God seeking his sheep, calling his sheep, bringing them into his fold, taking them away from these shepherds of Israel that don't care for them. Verse 12, as a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. And he has his Jewish little sheep all over this world where they've been scattered on cloudy and stormy days because of their disobedience. And finally, when he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then all Israel will be saved. Romans tells us that. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and all the inhabited places of the land. And I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. What does that remind you of? Psalm 22. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, etc., etc. There they will lie down on good grazing ground, and they will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, the rest of salvation, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, strengthen the sick. Now listen, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. Now he moves, listen, now he moves from shepherds of Israel to sheep. And he moves into a flock. And in that flock, in that fold, so to speak, there are his sheep of his fold. But there are others there, other sheep that belong to other shepherds. And they are fat, and they are pushing with side, and they are butting with head. The weak, and the sickly. He says, I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind the broken, strengthen the sick, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. And so as he speaks now, I think it moves down from the shepherds of Israel to the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the others, the Jews that we've looked at that are against Jesus. But as for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and the male goats. Is it too slight a thing that you should feed in the good pastures, that you must tread down with your feet at the rest of your pastures, or that you would drink of the clear waters, that you must foul the rest with your feet? What sheep will do is this: they will drink in water, and then if they don't have a shepherd that will lead them, they'll just walk around and walk around and walk around and walk around, and they get in a rut, and the rut gets deeper, and the rut gets deeper, and they drink all the water, and then they walk through the water, and when they walk through the water, they do their business. And the water gets polluted. And then the dumb sheep go back and drink the water, because they don't have a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd get all messed up. And so here they are. And he says, what are you doing? He says, you're treading down, and then you expect those weak and sickly sheep to survive. You're treading down. You're polluting the water. He says, verse 19, as for my flock, they must eat what you tread down with your feet. They must drink what you foul with your feet. And listen, that's what the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees had done to the Word of God. They had fouled it with their feet. They had tread it down with their feet. Full well do you reject the commandments of God for the traditions of men. And that's what they had done. And they had taken the traditions of men and negative and positive commandments that they had added to the Word of God, and they said these are equal with the Word of God. As a matter of fact, they're probably a little bit above the Word of God. And they had polluted that. And this is what's happened. And he says, thus says the Lord God to them, verse 20, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and with shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns until you have scattered them abroad. Therefore I will deliver my flock, and they will no longer be a prey, and I will judge between one sheep and another. Verse 23, then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. Now, I personally believe, don't let this throw you, but I believe personally, when Jesus Christ comes back and when he reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and very God of very gods, that David's going to reign under him. Yes. David resurrected with all the other resurrected Jews who are going to sit down with Abraham and others and have a big feast. Then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. He will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now, if you want to say David there is Jesus, then that's fine. It doesn't bother me at all. I think they're both going to be there. But anyway, he's going to give them a shepherd. Now, who's the shepherd? Who's the shepherd that's come to seek and to search for that which is his own? It's Jesus. Here he is, right here in John chapter 10, fulfilling what Jesus has, fulfilling what the Old Testament has laid out. Here is the good shepherd. Now, I want to show you what we see in John chapter 10, and we're going to give an outline, and then we're going to go as far as we can through the chapter, and if we don't get all the way through, then we'll pick it up on John chapter 11. In John chapter 10, we see Jesus in three vignettes of a shepherd. In chapter 10, verse 1 through 9, we see the true shepherd. We see Jesus, the true shepherd. Now, there's a statement I want to put after that. This true shepherd is the door of the sheep. He is the door of the sheep. And we'll explain that in a few minutes. It gets gooder. And then in chapter 10, verse 10, all the way through verse 18, we see Jesus, the good shepherd. Now, you pick up this phrase, the good shepherd, at this point in John chapter 10. And we see the good shepherd. What does the good shepherd do? He is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep. He's not going to run away. He's going to lay down his life for the sheep. And then in John chapter 10, verse 22 to the end of the chapter, which I believe, let's see, is 42. 10:22 to 42, we see the Father's shepherd. Now, isn't that what we just saw in Ezekiel 34? We see the Father's shepherd. And I read you part of the end of John 10. And we see here that the Father and I are one. Now, the Father's shepherd is the one, and you want to write this down, this is the one to whom the Father gave the sheep. The Father's shepherd is the one to whom the Father gave the sheep. So Jesus, our shepherd, has sheep that are given to him by the Father. And that's what we saw in Ezekiel 34. Now, what I want to do is I want to take you through John chapter 10. And I want to start at verse 1. And I want to just move through this. And as I do, I would just say to the blind man, oh, blind man, it matters not that they have kicked you out of the synagogue because you have been brought into the Father's fold. It doesn't matter where you've ever been kicked out of. You have been brought into the Father's fold. He has been brought into God's forever family. I love that. God's forever family. He has been given eternal life, and no one shall ever pluck him out of his hand. Now, let's start with John chapter 10. John chapter 10 starts with a figure of speech. And some have said that the word for figure of speech here is P-A-R-A-B-O-L-E. But others say, no, that's not the word that means parable. The word that's used here in the Greek is P-A-R-O-M. Let me see if I've got it right. P-A-R-O-I-M-I-A. P-A-R-O-I-M-I-A. Now, this means, rather than a parable, it is more of a proverb. Okay, this word indicates that it's more of a proverb. And this is what scholars say. It suggests the notion of a mysterious saying that is full of compressed thought. Suggests the notion of a mysterious saying full of compressed thought rather than that of simple comparison. In other words, as you think about this figure of speech, it is pregnant with meaning. There is much, much here to be considered. Now, this is the only time in the Gospel of John that we have any reference to a parable or a proverb of this sort. And yet, remember, it fits right in with John's purpose. It fits right in with the flow of the book. Here is a man who has just been kicked out of the fold. He has false shepherds over him. He has shepherds of Israel that really don't care for him, but he has been brought into the fold of Jesus Christ. So Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, you who? Well, the ones that we know that he's just been talking to are the Pharisees. So he's talking to the Pharisees. He who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. Now, let me just stop and put you into the cultural context of all this. In those days, what would happen is when the sheep, shepherds, would come into town, they would bring their flocks with them. They wouldn't leave them out there as prey for anyone, but they would bring their flocks with them. And when they would bring them into town, there were sheepfolds, and usually sheepfolds were just outside, and it might be too big. You can tell I'm not an artist. Does that go down or up or whatever? Anyway, it was like the corner of a building. So they would bring this in, and then what they would do is they'd put this thatch thing around here, and it would just have one door, and then all the little sheep. These are little sheep. Those are sheep. Have you got it? Ear. Okay. Tail. Okay. Those are the sheep. So let's say seven different shepherds would come into town, and they'd put all their sheep inside that sheepfold. You'd say, how would they ever get their sheep out? I mean, can you go around, imagine going around, checking every sheep, looking for a mark on it? Now, sometimes you'll see sheep with marks on them, like they'll all have a red spot on them or stuff like that. But I mean, you know, you run out of colors. And how are you going to find your sheep? Well, what they do is those sheep know their shepherd so well that the shepherd can put his sheep into the sheepfold. And then when it is time to get him out, all he does is he comes and he begins to call his little sheepy. And he'll say, here, leggy, 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 leggy. And little leggy, 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 you know, will respond. And then he'll say, here, little woolly, 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 woolly. And woolly, woolly, woolly. Woolly, woolly, if you don't respond, you're going to get it. Thank you. And he'll respond. See? So they will follow their shepherd. You like that, don't you? I do too. These are Charlene's. Now that's better. I'm proud of you. Now let's see if you can do any better. All right, I know you're younger, but there we go. And they just follow their shepherd. They know the voice of their shepherd. They've been with their shepherd for a long, long time. And he has names for them. It says he calls his sheep by name. Well, now listen, because the sheep know the voice of their shepherd, they won't follow another. See, I could be a sheep thief. That makes sense? Okay. I could be a sheep thief or a thief of sheep. And I could just listen very carefully. Now, I like that shepherd's sheep. They're fat and they're healthy and they've been taken care of and they're clean and they don't have burrs and they don't have bugs up their nose. Sheep get bugs up their nose. Torments them terribly. But anyway, you'll have to study Psalm 23 with us to get that part. But anyway, so he could listen and he could say, when that shepherd goes in there, he has a real deep voice. And he says, hey, sheepy, 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 sheepy. So I'll practice. So he goes and he practices. Hey, sheepy, sheepy, sheepy. And he thinks he's got it down just pat. So he could go to the door of the sheepfold and he'd say, I've come to get my sheep. And he's got, you know, I've come to get my sheep. I mean, he's all wrapped up. You know, it's a hot day. And the hotter it gets, the more they wrap up over there. So he's all wrapped up and he says, I've come to get my sheep. And the guy says, okay, call your sheep. And he says, sheepy, sheepy, sheepy. And these are the sheep. And they go. And they turn around. They're not going to follow him. Why? Because they know the voice of their shepherd. So this is what a thief will have to do. All these sheep are in the sheepfold. So if a thief wants to get him out, he can't come to the door and call him because the sheep won't follow them because they know their shepherd. And the shepherd calls them by name and another they will not follow. So he wants some sheep. He wants some mutton pie for dinner. His wife says, I'm dying for mutton pie. And you haven't brought me any mutton pie. Now go get me some mutton pie. So he gets his friend. And so at night, what does he do? He puts his knife in his mouth. And he climbs over the top. And he's got an accomplice out here now. He climbs over the top and he goes down like this. This is a knife, which I'm about to regurgitate. But anyway, this is a knife. So he goes up and he gets the sheep and takes the sheep and he slits the sheep's throat. He's got to stand like this because he's a man. Okay, anyway, so he slits the sheep's throat. Then what does he do? He takes the sheep and he slings the sheep. You say, but why didn't that sheep go, ah? when it starts to slit its throat, because sheep don't do that. As a lamb before his shearers is what? Dumb, he opens not his mouth. You can slit a sheep's throat and it won't say a thing. It just stand there and bleed to death all over you. But anyway, so he takes the sheep and he throws the sheep over. See? Now what does that thief do? He comes to what? To kill and to destroy. All he wants is the benefit of that sheep for himself. But what does the true shepherd do? The true shepherd becomes the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. Now let's look at this true shepherd in John chapter 10. To him, this is the true shepherd, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. Now what's so precious is that these two sheep, look, that's all right. This is your debut, I know. Okay, so what it does is this sheep looks different from that sheep, but you get them all together and they don't look any different. But the shepherd knows his sheep so intimately that each one has a name. This is little yellow bell. See, it's yellow, it's lost its bell. But anyway, this is little yellow bell. And it can say, here, little yellow bell. Here, little blacky. Here, little spotty. Here, little smudgy. Here, little whatever, fluffy, you know, woolly, rambly, whatever. He has them and he calls them by name. In other words, he knows them personally and he knows them individually. He knows you personally. He knows you individually. You are precious, precious, precious. See, he's not in this picture. He's not holding a whole flock of sheep in his arms. He's got one precious sheep in his arm. He knows that sheep intimately. It says, he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And when he puts forth all his own, what does he do? Gets behind him and drives him with a stick. Mm-mm. A good shepherd never drives his sheep. A good shepherd leads his sheep. And so what he does is he goes out before him. Now listen, when he goes out before him, it's something like those of you men that have been in the military know what a point man is. A point man is a man that they will send out ahead of the troops. And he may walk through mined territory. But he goes out and he may be the one going out that will also draw the enemy's fire. So when he goes out before them, he endangers, a point man endangers his life, but he also scouts it out and makes sure that he can get the troops through. And Jesus, listen, Jesus will never lead you any place but what he hasn't gone before. He won't lead you any place, precious sheep, but what he hasn't gone before. You could parallel this with the 23rd Psalm. And that is that he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And to prepare a table before him in the presence of his enemies means this, that the shepherd will go out and look at the land where he wants the sheep to graze, and he'll look at it very carefully to see if there are any poisonous plants, because sheep will eat anything. So he pulls out the poisonous plants and everything, and he prepares a table before them in the presence of their enemies. And those sheep can come out and graze right in the midst of their enemies, and they're all right because the shepherd is with them. He goes before them. Jesus, as the shepherd of the sheep, has been tempted in all points as what? As you are. And yet what? Without sin. There's no way that you have ever suffered that he has not suffered. There's no temptation that you have ever faced that he has not been tempted. There is no danger that you have ever encountered that he has not encountered. There is no, I last night sat and this morning in my quiet time reading prisoners' bulletins about our beloved brethren behind the Iron Curtain and reading the plea of these children for a mother who went into prison weighing 100 and almost 80 pounds and who now weighs 83 pounds. And the father's a prisoner also, and she was put in prison simply because she was on the council of prisoners' relatives trying to get the their loved ones out of prison. And then I looked at, I don't know how you would pronounce it, P-Y-R-O or P-Y-O-T-R?
Piotr,
which would be Peter, right? And I've watched Piotr's face. I've seen him in bulletin after bulletin after bulletin. His face has always captured me. There's such gentleness and love to his eyes. 22 years in prison. 22 years in prison. Broken in health. Even gone through mental things where they drug them and stuff like this. And yet he said, if this is what God has predestined me for, he said, should I walk away from the cup that the Lord has given me to drink? And he says, there's only one thing I know of that remains that I have not yet tasted, and that's Calvary. But he can make it because his shepherd has gone before him. He's part of the fold, rejected by his country, put in prison, family not allowed to see him, travel all that distance, and then kept away from him. And yet he belongs to the fold, and the shepherd has him right there, and the shepherd's caressing him with a nail-pierced hand. And that shepherd's going to come again one day as the chief shepherd. And then he will have his reward. Verse 4, when he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger, they simply will not follow. Have you got that? The true sheep of Jesus will not follow a stranger. There's something about their spiritual ears that let them know that that's not the true shepherd. There's something that will put on a light inside, sound an alarm, and say, He may be saying, "Hey, sheepy, sheepy, sheepy," but that's not your shepherd. His voice may sound somewhat familiar, but he's a stranger, and they will not follow him, but they will flee from him. Why? Because they do not know the voice of strangers. You know, it just thrilled me to hear Jerry's testimony. She was a sheep. She was lost. And she got all messed up. And yet, there was within her that knowledge that what she was hearing was not the true voice of the shepherd. And then when a little under-shepherd from BSF, Bible Study Fellowship, comes along and says, "Here, sheepy, 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 here, Jerry, Jerry, Jerry." Then Jerry heard the voice of the true shepherd through the BSF under-shepherd, and she received life. Verse 6, this figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which had been saying he had been saying to them. Jesus therefore said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the what? The door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the what? Door." Now listen, if anyone enters, how? Through me. He shall find what? What does it say? He shall be what? Saved. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one true shepherd. There's only one door into God's sheepfold, and that's Jesus. He just said it. He's going to say it in John 14 another way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father but how? Through me. He is the door. One day, and this is a true story, they looked at a sheepfold, and there was a space for a door, but there was no door. And they said to the shepherd, "Where's the door?" And the shepherd looked at him, and he said, "I'm the door." He says, "What do you mean, I'm the door?" He says, "At night, when all the sheep are in the fold, I lay down in the opening, And if anybody comes in or anybody goes out, they have to go over me. I'm the door. Jesus is the door. There's no other way. He that enters in by him shall be saved. That's perfect security. He shall go in and out, and that's the perfect liberty. The perfect liberty. Listen, he shall go in and he shall go out. He shall go in and he shall go out. What happened to the blind man? He was what? Kicked out. So he could never come back in again. But there's that liberty of the children of God. You don't have to stay like this. Oh, I'm afraid. I'm afraid if I ever get away from my shepherd, then I'll never get back here again. Oh, no. There's that freedom and that liberty in Christ Jesus. He shall go in and out, and he shall find what? Pasture. Perfect security, perfect liberty, and perfect sustenance. What did Ezekiel 34 say? You don't feed my sheep. You don't give them the proper pasture. But here is the feeding. He shall find pasture. Now from the true shepherd, he moves to the good shepherd. And what do we learn about the good shepherd? Well, we learn first of all that there's a contrast between the good shepherd and the thief. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Now, who was he just talked about in John chapter 8, verse 44? Who was he just said to the Pharisees? You are of your father the what? The devil. He is a what? Murderer. He is a murderer. The thief comes to kill and to destroy and to steal. I came that they might have what? Life. And how? Have it more abundantly. See, it's not just life that, man, you just get into the sheepfold and that's it. No, there's this liberty. There's this sustenance. There's this life, and it's abundant. Jesus said in John, these things were written, these signs were recorded, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have what? Life. Where? In his name. That's all the abundance. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to me because I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Abundant life. Abundant life is access to all that Jesus Christ is, to all that Jesus Christ has, to all the treasures of the inheritance of the children of God. He says, I am the good shepherd. Now, what does the good shepherd do? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, what were those shepherds of Israel doing? They were using their sheep for their own lives, but they were not laying down their lives for the sheep. He who was a hireling and not a shepherd. Who were these shepherds of Israel? They were hirelings. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep. Who owns the sheep? God owns the sheep. Beholds the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hireling and he's not concerned about the sheep. I want to tell you something. You watch the biographies down through the ages and you'll see the true shepherds under the chief shepherd, as Peter talks about and you studied. They're the ones that will stay right there and take it with their sheep. They don't run away. They stay. And they take what the sheep take. He says he flees because he's a hireling and he's not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I love this. And I know my own. Here, sheepy, sheepy, sheepy. Will you please perform? And my own know me. Now listen to what he says. He says, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And then what does he say? He says, I have other sheep who are not of this fold. Which is the fold he's talking about? The Jewish fold. Who are the sheep that are not of the Jewish fold? They're the Gentile fold. And listen to what he says. He says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become what? One flock, with one shepherd. What's he talking about? He's talking about the church. And I want to tell you something. When that last sheep hears the voice, here's sheepy, 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 and it comes into the fold, and the fold's complete, then we're leaving. I mean, we are leaving. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're leaving. We're leaving with a good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And when he comes back, he's going to come back as the chief shepherd. And we're going to come with him. And these docile sheep are going to rule and reign forever and ever with him, because they're sheep of his fold. We'll finish this next week. When we look at the shepherd who loves the sheep, but who has a nail print in his hand, because he's the resurrection and the life. And those sheep that believe in him, though they were dead, yet shall they live, because he's the resurrection and the life. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you so very, very much for sending your Son, the true shepherd, the good shepherd, that won't run away, that won't desert us, that won't abandon us, who will never leave us nor forsake us, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Thank you for sending us the shepherd, the good shepherd, who has laid down his life that we might have life and that we might have it abundantly. Oh, I pray, Father, that you would speak to those precious sheep who have not yet come into the fold, that they might hear the voice of their shepherd, that they might know his voice, that they might follow him, and that you might give them eternal life. Father, we look forward to the day when the last sheep comes into the fold and the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ are raised, and we which are alive and remain are caught up together to meet our shepherd, our chief shepherd, in the air. We thank you that no man can pluck us out of your hand. We thank you, Father, that you are one with the Son. We believe that. And we cry, Abba, Father, in your name, amen.